You are now listening to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Sit back, get comfy, and keep all arms and legs inside the vehicle when in motion. And now, here's Josh, Peter, and Brian.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. This is Josh Shores. As always, I'm here with Peter Raber and Brian Brummett.
Yeah, baby.
We have a really special guest today.
We do.
No, it's not Dolly Parton. Unfortunately, she's pretty booked out for the rest of the ever-seeable future. But we
didn't have to go too far down on the list.
We got down to, let's see, Dolly's one.
Nate Bargatze went on the list.
Yeah, Nate went on the list.
Josh Mancuso's on the list. But, you know, if he doesn't respond, I think he can drop.
We are joined today by Jonathan Alvarado, who is the Director of Development for the Boys and Girls Club here in Kingsport. Jonathan, welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
We're going to go ahead and get all apologies out up front.
No,
I know we gave you a rundown of, you know, what to be aware of, what to expect, and it went really fast because we don't know either. So, but
the word wing it was in there a whole lot.
That's kind of how we've made this whole thing work. But Jonathan agreed to come hang out with us. I know the last episode we had talked a little bit about trying to highlight some local charities and nonprofits in the area, hear a little bit about what they are doing. So, Jonathan, I know you guys have a new CEO.
We do have a new CEO.
I've heard of her.
Jessica Poor.
I know. She's not too bad. She's cool.
She's really great. Yeah. She's only been here. I'm trying to remember. So I am relatively new to the club. I came in August 28th, and she came in maybe a month after me. So
gotcha.
She has not been there very long. Her husband, Chris, he's the DB high school basketball coach. So some of our listeners may know her through him. But yeah, she's been doing a fantastic job. She's really involved in the community. She's got a great personality, and I think she wants to kind of get the club back to where it was.
Sure. She's also a fellow Greene Countyan.
Mm-hmm. She is.
Her and I both. And I actually graduated with Chris.
No kidding.
Yeah, we graduated high school together. And, you know, Chris was a very good basketball player at Greenville High, and now he is coaching one of our, like, nemesis schools. So I'm still really weirded out about that. I don't know how I feel about it.
Unsure.
But we can talk about that later. But Jonathan, you're new on the spot then, right?
I'm very new on the spot. Yes.
Yeah. So what have you been doing the past few months?
The past few months, I've really kind of just gotten to know the organization. I've worked with another nonprofit before. So I'm similar to kind of what the work is that this organization does. But really spending a lot of time with those kids, you know, I think the best way to kind of learn about an organization is to kind of see firsthand what your organization is doing to kind of help with the people that you're trying to serve. In our case, it's a lot of kids and families, you know, in the Kingsport community. So trying to spend as much time, you know, when they come in for after school, just kind of playing different games with them, helping out with activities, just introducing myself, getting them kind of comfortable with seeing me around. And then just doing a lot of independent kind of research on the back end just about the organization and kind of what it stands for and what they're trying to do, how big the movement is across the nation.
Can you go into that a little bit more? I know a little bit about what the Boys and Girls Club does and who they try to target to help, but can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. So
Boys and Girls.
Boys and it's Girls.
It's in the name.
Girls. We do it all.
Yeah. Boys and Girls Club. So really, our goal is to kind of help really kids of all ages from all economic backgrounds, from all walks of life, to kind of be the best possible versions of themselves. We do that through after school care. You know, we provide a lot of academic resources and programming, such as homework help, tutoring. There's career development for some of our teens and even, you know, some of our middle school students as well, as far as like getting them prepared to enter, you know, the real world, whether that's, you know, going through a trade school or college admissions, things like that, just kind of getting them kind of in touch with what's going on in today's society. We also do a lot of events and activities focused around families, just, you know, budget planning, trying to get them more involved in the resources that they need so that they can be successful and their kids can be successful. So yeah, there's just, you know, a lot of stuff like that, helping out those families, helping out those kids, trying to give them a safe place to go after school, trying to give them those positive mentorships, caring mentors, caring staff, kind of create that environment where they kind of feel safe to grow, to be themselves. So that's kind of our mission, kind of our overall goal of what we're trying to do for these kids.
I know that Brian and I were at Kiwanis last week.
Yeah, that was last Friday. Yeah. Yeah.
Our CEO was there.
Yeah, she came and spoke.
She came and shared. And I guess I didn't realize that you all could service so many kids in the area. And one thing that I really kind of took away from that and really appreciated from it was, you know, I think that there's this weird kind of thought process or this cloud that people think, well, you know, if you go to a Boys and Girls Club, it's like for the least of these or the less fortunate or so. But I really like the idea of like the socioeconomics of that, because, you know, you have different kids coming from all different walks of life. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's important just for interaction.
I agree.
Between them. And I don't think that people really realize that, you know, it's not just about a social class or, you know, how much money your parents make, mm-hmm. or who's around. Like, it's there's a bigger picture than that.
Yeah. And I think kids, they don't know that. You know, when kids are hanging out with other kids, they don't know what their situation is. They don't know what their parents, you know, income is. They just see another kid and they have fun with them and they want to hang out. And I think as they grow up, that kind of is instilled in them. And so their interactions with people as they get older, it's going to be based off of those experiences, what they had at the club and interacting with these kids, you know, who are just different than them.
Brian, what's one thing that you kind of latched onto whenever we were at Kiwanis?
So the thing that I really latched onto was she said that they occasionally have people go down there and teach the kids how to budget.
Yes.
And I feel like...
I thought you were going to say
Yes. Well, that was important to me because I feel I never was taught budgeting through my senior year in high school. Mm-hmm. No one ever taught that. And I feel like that should definitely be covered multiple times by the time you graduate.
Yes.
So...
Yeah. And I know we do a lot with that with our teens too, that, you know, especially as they get older, building budgets, even with our younger kids. I mean, I do with my twin daughters, but even the younger kids of kind of breaking it down as far as you have this much and you want to spend this much, but also keeping in mind of like tax, you know, it's not just as simple as I have this much to spend. Well, I'm going to go to the store and I see it says this much. Well, I have enough. And it's like, well, there's also tax and things like that. So it's those little things that you're teaching these kids at an early age, and even as they get older, kind of, you know, more advanced stuff of just like, this is how you can properly budget your money, spend your money, you know, looking at what you need versus what you want. And I think it's really impactful and helpful as they go on and get older and go through life.
Oh, budgeting's always good. I mean, not just with money, just knowing what you have and what you can use. Mm-hmm. Is huge.
Well, and then you don't get in the situation that a lot of times we unfortunately are having to counsel people that are 5 years from retirement. Mm-hmm. And because they didn't have that base, they've gone to a place where retirement doesn't look like what they had hoped.
Right.
And so if you can get it early, it just makes such a difference. It's something that we preach pretty much in every interaction that we have. So it's really fascinating to see. And, you know, it just takes one kid to potentially change a huge amount of the family tree from them forward.
Forward, yeah.
And so if
it could be a huge pivot for the whole family.
Break that cycle. Absolutely.
Yeah. I've talked about that a lot with different people. We talk about it in kind of the phrasing of kind of breaking the generational curse.
Yeah. The generational poverty cycle, or the poverty cycle that it is.
And,
yeah.
And Peter's right. It really just takes, you know, kind of one person to spearhead that effort.
And getting there early enough. Kids are so much easier to teach than
for the entire family. Rest of us. So
yeah. And that's really another big thing that the Boys and Girls Club does, is that, you know, they try to have that positive impact on these kids who are in those situations, because then it's like, hey, I care about you. I care about your well-being. I want you to be successful. Here are some tools and resources and different things that we can do to kind of help you get out of that situation that you're in. And like you said, it just takes one kid.
Well, and I would say too, you know, we see very often, you know, just because of what we do and our clientele, there's also a need within the affluent children group because they haven't had to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there's a reason why there's an expression that the first generation makes the money, the second generation preserves it, and the third generation blows it. It's normally you start to get away from those principles.
Oh, yeah, Jonathan, that's a thing.
I'm over here counting on my fingers.
Yeah, which generation am I? Where am I at?
Well, and it's very easy. So if you've had your life handed to you on a silver spoon, and then something happens, and or you didn't learn how to budget, mm-hmm. and you inherit all this money, and then you blow it within X amount of years.
Yeah.
I didn't know how to budget. I didn't. And there's an assumption that just because a family comes from it, that the kids would automatically know it. And a lot of times that's not the case because so many parents feel uncomfortable talking about these topics with their children. They don't want to say to their children, well, I do have more money than your friend's parents or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so they just avoid it completely. And then those kids just assume that, well, there will always be money. And then there's not.
Yep.
And so I really like the idea of it being across multiple, you know, socioeconomic.
Yes, absolutely.
And I'll admit, you know, my, you know, ignorance, I didn't probably realize that it would have been a program available to like my kids.
Right.
Even if I, you know, I'm sure there's scholarships and things, you know, to get people there, but I like the idea of it being just kids learning these topics and interacting and playing and doing all the other fun stuff that they're doing there.
Now, what is the cost for a kid to?
So starting in 2024, it's actually going to be, it's a $50 yearly membership, and that covers everything. So we're moving
$50 per kid
per kid per year. Yeah. So we're moving away from weekly fees. We really just wanted to make it more accessible to families in our community, make it more affordable to families in the community. And so at the beginning of 2024, that's what it's going to be, $50 per kid for the entire year. And then summer, for the summer camp program, it'll be $150 per kid. So
you can't find anything near that.
No, I was shocked when I found that out.
I mean, that offers, you know, the scale mm-hmm. of what you guys offer, because it's more than, you know, it's more than kids just showing up after school and shooting basketball for a couple hours.
Yeah, no, it's structured. Yeah, you know, it's not just here you go, here's an open area, run around, and we're just kind of keeping time until your parents come pick you up. No, there's activities that they do. There's structured time. There's arts and crafts, STEM activities. Sometimes different organizations come again and volunteer and teach these kids important lessons. They get a warm meal every single day at 5 p.m. So for that, I think it's phenomenal what we're able to do, what we're able to provide these families.
Are you bringing the kids from school to your facility, or do parents have to get them there?
So we do provide, so buses, Kingsport City do have bus routes that take them to our club. And then we also pick up with our own buses, kids from Sullivan County. And just recently,
Weber City.
Exactly. Yeah,
that was a huge thing.
That was a big thing. And so my kids, they go to Weber City Elementary. So they're in Scott County. And they were at another after-school care facility. But unfortunately, that facility unexpectedly closed down right before Thanksgiving. And so we and a lot of other parents in that community were trying to scramble and figure out, what are we going to do with our kids after school? Because there really, in all honesty, wasn't a lot of other options there. And so luckily, our CEO, and because, you know, I was there, and we had a lot of parents contact us, we were able to work with the schools, work with the school officials, work with the principal to at least be able to pick up kids from Weber City Elementary and then take them all the way over to our club where parents can pick them up. So that was a huge.
And I mean, that's a pretty decent haul.
Yes.
Right?
It's like, you know, 10 or 15 minutes. Yeah. But
I mean,
it's a step in the right direction. You know, I know we've gotten multiple calls because there's three different schools in that area, Shoemaker, Yuma, Weber City, but they also are asking us, you know, is there any possibility that perhaps maybe you can be in our schools? And that's something that we definitely want to do. And so the more that we have parents talking about it, we encourage them to kind of speak with their school officials, speak with their principal, and see, hey, let's have a conversation. You know, I don't know how soon we can make that happen, but I know that's an area that desperately needs after school care with there not being any of them anymore.
I think after school care is always going to be one of those issues.
Yeah.
Well, For those of you who might hear a faint leaf blower in the background, that's our neighbors. They're getting their yard maintenance done here in the Wednesday afternoon. So
we can't say much. They do after school programs over there too.
Speaking of.
So one thing that's also really important, you guys have a pretty big building over there.
We do have a big building.
What is considered capacity for you all as far as kids go?
Total kids capacity, I want to say it's over 200 kids in that building.
That's
a lot. Which would be a lot. I don't know if we would be even able to handle 200 kids in the building at one time, but that is the official capacity, is I think 200 or slightly over 200 kids at a time. So it's a fairly large building that we can have.
See, I would imagine that one of the big things, you know, dropping the fee down to $50 a year, you probably are needing donations too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That was one of the things Jessica was talking about, is what type of donations is most helpful for the club.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be, and Peter might know a lot about this too, working in charities, the unrestricted money.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
How important that is.
Unrestricted is it allows us to give it to the areas that we see the most need. Yeah, and we can kind of put it in those different places.
I think unrestricted is something that until you get on the backside of a charity that you're probably completely unaware of. And what it really boils down to is, the easy example is schools with scholarships. So I want to set up a scholarship for some place, and I want it to go to a kid from Dobbins Bennett, and then I want them to be in a certain major and have a certain GPA. Each one of those restrictions that you place makes it harder and harder to award.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times what we've seen, and we're seeing it across the nation, massive amounts of money that can't be used contractually. So whenever you see one of these news stories about these endowments that are massive, part of the problem is if you have a scholarship for the German program at a school that no longer offers German, that money is just dead money.
Mm-hmm. Sitting there.
Until you can get it contractually changed.
Which is not easy.
It's not easy. And a lot of times, you know, it might be something that was awarded within a will or something, and there's not a person on the other side of the contract even still around to change the contract. So then you got to get the courts involved, and there's fees, which most nonprofits don't have the extra funds to pay those fees. And so anytime you're giving money to local organizations and non, you know, if you give to the American Red Cross, they can figure it out, right? But when you're giving to local community bases, if you can just say, look, I know that you are good people and you will do the best with the money, here it is, so much more helpful.
And the charities know what they need more than any of us do anyway.
Right. Absolutely. You know, and we've seen it too, where somebody will want to, and I don't know if this happens at Boys and Girls Club, but the example in my head would be, hey, I want to donate to you XYZ, I'm going to give you money to buy football equipment, or I'm going to give you money to do X. And then maybe it's good for a year or two, but then after that program goes away, or kids aren't doing it anymore. And then they're sitting with things that they said yes. But now they can't really use those, you know. So you could give the equipment plus a fund to maintain it. And then it's like, what are you doing? So yeah, give unrestricted funds if you can.
I do think it's important to kind of congratulate you all in a sense, because I think you guys do a great job of fundraising.
Thank you.
The galas are fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah. Everything that I have been a part of through the Boys and Girls Club program, all of the events have been a lot of fun. They seem to be well attended. They seem to be, well put together. And I know that seems like something silly, but that's not always the case.
They gave away a Porsche at the last one I went to.
Yeah, they do that every year.
We're doing it again this year, giving away another Porsche.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get my name.
So talk to me about the Porsche.
You buy the raffle tickets.
Do you get the car? Do you get a lease on the car?
You get the car.
Is it a Boxster still?
You know what? I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
I'll have to double check. but
it was an SUV last year. It was really nice.
Once we get into the 911s, then you know I might have to buy a few amount of tickets.
We'll put some information out. Then you
I think historically it's been one of the Cayennes.
Yeah, I think you're correct. Yep.
Or is it Cheyenne?
Cayenne's a pepper.
So if you get the wrong ticket, don't blame us if you just get some peppers.
Sponsored by Porsche.
But they had a casino themed one, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Is that the one you went to and didn't invite me to?
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to make
I always love those.
Wanted to make a good impression. It was the first one I'd been to, you know? Yeah.
Well, we know your history with casinos. So, I know. You know.
It was wild. I ended up running out of money twice. Lacey bailed me out twice and ended up winning.
You got a wife bailout.
Yeah, a wife bailout.
There you go.
Jonathan, we're getting ready to kind of turn the page here and get into some silliness. We're flipping the script.
We usually do it the other way.
But before we get too deep into that, could you just share with everyone who's listening some top of mind things to be aware of things that you guys need and how they could help?
Yeah, I mean, like you alluded to earlier, donations are really helpful. Again, you know, we are trying to provide after school care for these kids and these families, especially those who kind of really need it. And $50 a year is so affordable. So, you know, a $50 donation covers one kid for an entire year. That gives them access to so much. They have a place to go after school. Their parents feel comfortable knowing that they're at an established organization like the Boys and Girls Club. We offer homework help and tutoring, you know, structured activities, physical wellness activities, and a meal. A meal is a big thing for a lot of these families. So the fact that they get a warm meal every single day, and that's included in that, is just phenomenal. So we're doing a lot. We're trying to expand our services again, you know, even coming out and expanding our services into Virginia, you know, trying to see what that looks like and how we can do more for those families in that community. If you want to come and even just volunteer your time, for those of you you're in the area, we would appreciate that. These kids love having people come and kind of talk about things that they're interested in. You know, one organization came and did like a Lego Man assembly line to kind of teaching about assembly lines where they put together different of those little Lego figurines and they had to check it. So even stuff like that, those fun activities are always appreciated. So anything that you want to do to give back to our organization, we would greatly, greatly appreciate it. KBGC.org is where you can find more information. Information about the club, information about after school, information about all the fun different things that we're doing. So KBGC.org.
Here's something I want to do, and I'm this is still very fresh on my head because we talked about it like the last two episodes. Kind of got in the weeds with Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving sides, things of that nature, which I know that sometimes that bleeds over into, you know, Christmas dishes as well. So I want to ask you a question, then I want to tell you something.
Okay.
So I'm going to start out by asking you, what is your favorite Thanksgiving side dish? So we're going to take the turkey, the ham, all that out. What you got? What's number one?
I don't know if this is a considered a traditional side dish, but I love a good deviled egg.
Get in my belly! Come on!
Like, it's
that's what I said. That's awesome.
My absolute favorite.
Did you all just become a side?
Did we just become best friends?
I think we did.
We're gonna go out and get deviled eggs later.
Yeah, deviled eggs is where it's at.
It's like, literally what Brian said last week.
I think it's an underrated side dish. I think people will probably say stuffing or dressing or mac and cheese, but deviled eggs is
100%.
We don't say stuffing around here.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
Peter, as a dressing.
It's Peter fine as long as it actually is stuffing.
That's my only distinction. It's stuffing if it's in the bird.
Yeah.
It's dressing if it's not.
Yeah.
Stovetop shouldn't call themselves stuffing. It is what it is.
Oh, gosh. Here we go. Okay. I'm going to have to edit all this.
No.
No. Now, Chop House has really good deviled eggs.
They do. Yeah, they do.
They do.
I normally put them in the appetizer, but at holidays, appetizer sides is
It all goes onto the plate.
You wake up and you start eating, and then you fall asleep when you're done. Yeah. Like, it's all sides or main dish.
I know for me, for Christmas, usually I prefer a brunch over like a traditional Christmas dinner, like brunches, like a hash or a quiche, something along those lines. That's where
I just eat until I pass out.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's also a good plan.
Whatever you put in front of me, whether it's brunchy or dinnery, I'm just going to eat until I pass out.
Well, you go into Thanksgiving knowing that there's going to be a meal. It's always kind of a toss up in the air if you're going to somewhere new for Christmas, if there's going to be a meal finger foods.
That's true. Well, let me tell you what I was going to tell you now.
Okay.
Cranberry sauce is terrible.
I'm not a fan of cranberry sauce. I'm not a fan.
I didn't even want to give you the option of saying it was good, so I'm just going to tell you it's bad.
He could have said that was his favorite side.
I found a new recipe that I'm going to try where you take... I'm a big fan of the canned cranberry wiggly
gel. Feel like that's...
You open it, just thunk,
right? Yeah, and so you slice it up.
You slice it up. Mm-hmm. Found a new recipe where you freeze those slices, then dip them in chocolate, and then make them into a dessert.
Oh,
and I'm trying that for Christmas.
Please don't bring those.
I don't usually eat a lot of cranberry sauce. Is that eaten on its own?
The fact that that's your new recipe kind of makes me think that just having a can was your first recipe.
No, he means do people sit down, like pop a can, sit down, and just spoon it out?
What I think of, like, I think of, like, you say sauce, I think of, like, it goes on something. So, like, is that, like,
so if you don't do the can, there are people who make a cranberry sauce with still whole cranberries.
Okay.
And that you more put over the turkey and stuff. But jellied cranberries is where it's at.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Okay. Learning something new.
You've made it to our lightning round.
Okay.
So, the whole scenario, the whole structure here is to answer these questions as fast as you can with as little thought as possible.
Oh, man.
And whatever comes out, comes out.
All right. This should be interesting.
Otherwise, it'd be called the snail round.
The snail round. It doesn't have the same ring to it.
No, it doesn't.
Okay. Jonathan, what is your favorite cereal of all time?
Golden Grahams.
God, that's amazing. Thank you.
Solid choice.
That's a good one.
That's a great choice. I feel like I've done that with a few people, and they've said the most absurd things. Like,
I feel like they're trying to show off how healthy their breakfast cereals are. No.
They're trying to flex, isn't the place to do it.
See, I just throw cookies in there, turn it, throw milk on it, you got yourself cereal.
And I'm like, listen.
That's what my mom did. She would take graham crackers and just crush them up and throw
cereal.
Milk on them.
Bam. Cereal. Done. Oh,
it's good.
It is good.
Best movie of all time.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
That was the fastest one.
Is my favorite comfort movie.
People are
going to
think we have this scripted. We really don't.
It's just such a, like, if y'all haven't seen it, or if you have seen it, haven't seen it in a while, like, go and watch it. It's just about a kid and his friends enjoying a day off from basically life and just,
You can't turn advocating off,
can you? No, that's...
Also,
it's a rare first choice, too.
That is.
Yeah. You know, and I like it. It's
And it was so fast, you just knew.
That was good, Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
But do you feel like he's kind of turned into, he's just a mean person in all of his other roles?
Probably. Yeah, I don't think his last role was in that movie with Jennifer Lawrence. I forget.
Oh,
it was what's it called? The OxyContin.
No, it's the one where they hire her to date the son to give him real world experience before he goes. Uh-huh.
I just watched that.
My goodness, what is it called? We are horrible. He's kind of played
so
the goofy.
I forgot the title.
Goofy, but I do know which one you're talking about. And he was
on
Netflix, and it was about what was it? The opioid crisis and he kind of plays the CEO or the founder, and he's kind of just creepy and
he was just real off.
Yeah.
No hard feelings.
No hard feelings.
Although
Google confirms.
I do like him in Cable Guy. Steven.
I like Matthew Broderick in The Producers.
Okay.
I'm a big Mel Brooks fan, so I've seen that one actually on Broadway, and then the movie's great too. But Matthew Broderick is good.
War Games.
Deep pull.
Yeah,
I love that.
War Games.
Now who's flexing?
Yeah. Would you like to play a game?
Okay, we've still got one more question.
Well, he needs to stop answering.
I didn't know we were going to go through the whole background of Matthew Broderick's film career. Jonathan, if people would say one thing about you, what would they say?
I'm very sarcastic. Yes, that would be the one thing.
Surely not.
That my close friends would say, he's very sarcastic. And it takes a while to get used to my sarcastic
Do people
humor.
Think you're being mean sometimes?
Sometimes, because, yes.
I try to tell them that that's how I show love.
Yeah.
And I'm working on it with my therapist.
I think fellow sarcastic people, they can handle it very well.
Right.
I think it's one of those things whether you either are okay with it or you struggle with it or you just downright don't like it.
As a fellow sarcastic person, it's always weird testing the waters with somebody new.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this on the sarcasm, because I'm in the same boat. With having young kids who I would assume have picked up your sarcasm similar to mine.
Yes.
But they haven't learned how to wield it properly.
No, they have
how
not.
How do you handle that? Because I know there's times when like you have to check yourself and be like, wait a minute. He's trying that. That's not really, he was not trying to be a jerk.
No.
But he's got my sense of humor. So how do you handle that?
Yeah, I'll be honest. Like when it first started happening, I would try to discipline them. If like, no, you can't talk like that. And then it was pointed out to me that it's like, you do the exact same thing. And it's like, well, I want them to do as I say, not as I do. But I've learned to embrace it because it's a part of me in them now. And it's just, they're going to grow into it on their own. And I accept it now. I'm a more accepting of their sarcasm.
Let them be inappropriate every now and then. Exactly. Realize it didn't land well and move on.
It's fine. Yeah.
But when it lands, it's better than anything you can.
I would imagine.
I give them high fives. I say, well played. Yeah. Well played.
We were disciplining Ben the other day. And I think Kate ended up, you know, you get to a point as a parent and you just yell at your kid.
Yeah.
Everybody tries to be perfect. You're not.
Everybody has that breaking point, and you try really hard not to get there.
Yeah, she yelled at him. It's like, don't say another word. And he comes back with, no español. and she broke. And now it's anytime it's habla español. And so it's, sometimes they just hit you the right way. And
they know. They're smart.
Yeah.
They're smarter than we give them credit for. And they have this, my twins have an uncanny ability to not need me for anything for an extended period of time, and I'm not doing anything. And as soon as I start doing something productive, I get asked 50 different questions of things that they need to do. They're just waiting for me. Like, you don't look very busy. We're not going to bother you. Oh, you're trying to do this, clean up, fix something. I need you to help me with these 12 different things if you don't mind.
The joys of parenting.
Is this turning into a
therapy session?
Session. We're just letting out our grievances right now.
Our kids won't hear this.
Yeah, they won't listen.
Meanwhile, my plans are being pushed back every word.
To come full circle here, Jonathan, thank you for joining us. And we really appreciate it. We really appreciate all you do. And for all of those listening, please go support your local Boys and Girls Club. Also, you know, send your kids. Go sign up. Get a membership. Send your kids. They need to be a part of this. We need to get kids out, get them socializing, get them active, get them help, get them off their phones, right?
Absolutely. Get them off their phones.
Off their
tablets,
phones.
Whatever it is. Yep.
KBCG. Nope.
KBGC.org.
KBGC.org.
Yes.
Go check them out. Also, this is the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Go check us out, AFIAdvisors.com. Follow us on all of our social channels. Guys, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Joe.
Thank you for having me.
Jonathan, Godspeed. We'll do this again sometime.
I hope so. Please invite me back.
If we don't see you again, Merry Christmas. Enjoy your deviled eggs.
I will do my absolute best. Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Bullseye Podcast. Do you want to sponsor the show or maybe even be a guest? Contact us at connect@afiadvisors.com to get the conversation started. Thank you for all of the continued support.